Dave Moore on Today FM.
Coolness, lads.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay.
In Dublin's fair city.
So give me a card. But give me, like, don't give me stupid cards now. Give me open cards and watch.
Stupid cards.
But, like, as in, don't give me hard E sharp minors, Renton. Give me open cards and I'll show you how fast I can do it.
E sharp minor is hard. How about, like, A diminished, flat 11, suspended 4? And that's a hard chord.
I'll give you an A.
Nice. Give us, give me a B minor.
I can't really do that one.
You certainly can't if that's where you're fingering. Okay, give me an A minor. As Dougal says to Ted, I like that. It's kind of sad.
Isn't that good?
Carl, you're coming on. I'll tell you that much. This man's learning how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
He's rocking EP on stages. He's got number one singles on
Watching Coldplay
iTunes.
Just inspired me.
Did you like Coldplay?
It was one of the best gigs I've ever been to.
Wow, high praise.
Yeah,
high praise.
Literally. One of the best live shows. Like, it's just, it's out of this world.
Mm. I definitely think it's a better show. I'm watching Maria now for the daggers. I think it's a better
spheres,
show than it is a gig. I will say that.
Shut your bleeding face already.
That's my honest.
There's a difference though. I think there is a big difference. Yeah, like Taylor Swift to me is a show, not a gig. Coldplay is a show, not a gig. AC/DC is a show, not a gig.
But Metallica was a
gig.
You're
just naming stadium shows now.
No, but Metallica was a gig, right? Metallica, I went and, like, it's about the music. Again, I'm just so cautious of Maria, but it's not. Coldplay,
if I could kick you
no,
under
but Coldplay,
the desk.
No, but hang on, be honest, right? Coldplay sounds exactly the same as the album, right? There's no, you've almost no idea the show is live. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're there to hear the songs the way you want to hear them and be wowed by the visuals and the entertainment and the vibes and and it's all that. Whereas if you go and see a gig, you're there to hear the music live.
It just felt different to me. I think it depends on whether you're a fan or not. Like, if, yes, I went to Coldplay. I went to see them perform their music.
Yes.
All of the other things were added extras and made the experience, it put it on another level.
Okay, I'm really going to go out on a limb here and this is going to get me in trouble. I think if the four lads were on stage and the ambassador, you'd be disappointed.
I wouldn't.
Oh no, I think Maria's enough of a fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because I saw only a thousand people.
Sorry,
that's my point.
People who like, who went to the show, who like songs. Right, I like songs. I like songs by Neil Diamond. I like songs by Coldplay.
Neil Diamond is a really weird choice there.
But you know what I mean? People who aren't big fans like Maria, who just went to the show, if you put Coldplay on stage in The Ambassador, they would be like, this wasn't very good, was it? There was no balls and lasers.
A really good example, actually.
Can you tell Dave I said?
People are going to fall out of Coldplay. I did not go.
Yes.
But I did go Coldplay gating.
You did Coldplay gate?
Yes, which I've done before. I did it for Taylor Swift and it was the crack. And I said, you know what? I live fairly close to Croke Park. May as well go. In hindsight, I should have just gone to my parents' house. They got the full show. Sunday night, they could hear every word.
Yeah. All the way wind direction.
Seven, yeah.
Right.
But anyway, myself and my other half went and we went down to Summerhill. And then we decided we'd move a little bit closer to the stadium once we kind of gauged about half eight. I was like, I think they're on about 25 to 9. Heard them come on. We're like, wander around here. It was the dream. We had snacks and beverages.
Okay.
Snacks may be overstating it. We definitely had beverages.
Were there picnic chairs?
There weren't. We didn't have any, but where we ended up, there was actually like steps down into like a housing, like a row of houses.
Okay.
So people were sitting on those
outside.
Steps. There was Portaloos.
Yes, that's right, all the way along. Yeah.
Then we were like, you know what, I'm going a bit cold. We wandered down to the local, went down to the local, waited there for a little while. We could hear every word. But the best part of it was, so Nicky loved Coldplay, like in their first two albums. He went to see them. Did they play Marley Park, I think?
Yeah.
And I've seen them before. Yes, he saw them in Marley Park. I saw them in the O2 years ago. And he looked around to me and he went, I'm really glad we didn't go because I don't know enough of their new stuff to justify being here. I'm very much enjoying what I'm hearing, but I don't think I'd have enjoyed it as much if I was there. So it was just an interesting thing that he was like, if he had seen them in the Olympia, he probably would have loved them, or the Ambassador or whatever. He
on
would
the
have
first
loved
couple
that.
Of records, yeah. But now I just don't think those lads need to, or but just even like, it just wouldn't make sense for them to just do a gig. Do you know what I mean? They need to do a show. It's like, it's where they're at. It's like Taylor Swift. Like Taylor
Swift, she's never going to do the point.
Yeah, or the Olympia. She's never going to be whatever. Yeah. Dial it right down. The music center in Temple Bar, the Button Factory, whatever it's called. Like there are certain bands, like Slayer, for example. I know I keep picking heavy metal, but Slayer, for example, did the two nights in the Academy. Like they're still gigging. Like this was at the height of their fame. Like they just instead of doing the three arena, just because they just wanted to gig small venues. Like Slipknot, who are the biggest stadium rock band in the world, bar Metallica, are currently touring in America doing the venues they did on their first record.
Wow. I could see Coldplay doing that.
Yeah.
I could see Coldplay because in a couple of years' time going, we're going to strip it right back, go back to basics and do like an acoustic.
They're definitely sound. I just don't think that they're at that thing now. They're just like going, no, this has got to be bells and whistles because that's what they do. Yeah.
I do think that there will be people who, if that did happen, would, like you said, go and be disappointed. But that doesn't, that's because they only went
not
for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
exactly.
They're only there because it was Coldplay in Croke Park.
Yeah. Eimear, can you tell Dave that we're going to be slagging him about Man United again?
Yes. Yeah, this is only me getting a little bit back when you guys put together a compilation of listeners singing Liverpool songs at me after Man United's performances and then brought Liam Gallagher in to slag me off about United.
If you're like me and you spent yesterday afternoon glued to your television watching your team be dismantled by Liverpool, you'll enjoy this piece of audio that my team apparently has put together and told me to just hit play on. I can't wait to hear what this is.
Salah.
Oh, come on.
They're queuing up with Luis Diaz at the back post.
Sorry, sorry, Man United. As the Reds come tumbling down. Go, Liverpool!
Diaz! Oh, that shot. That is so sharp. Uh-huh. And Liverpool are fizzing clear.
On a slot. La, 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 la. On a slot. La 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 la.
My show! Taken on by Szoboszlai. Sifted on for Salah. 3-0!
3-0. 3-0. 3-0. 3-0. 3-0.
Yeah, you've had
Dave,
your time now.
It's not your show, it's the people's show.
It is the people's show, you're right. You know who else's show it is? Liam Gallagher's show.
Yeah.
So I talked to Liam Gallagher before. He's actually a really sound man. But obviously, he's a staunch Man City fan. So the first thing I did was tell him I'm a United fan. And the conversation went like this. He called me out on FaceTime. He wanted to see my face and fight me over FaceTime.
No, I love talking to United fans, especially when you get your ass kicked every weekend. Talk away, mate.
Yeah, let's start with football then.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, should we FaceTime even? Let's see you.
Let me ask you one big question, right? Because you said recently that the first thing you do is look at United results even before City results, right? And you want to see if United have lost. If I could offer you the choice, right, of City winning the Champions League or United getting relegated, what would you pick?
United going down, mate. I'm asked about the Champions League. Boring. Not interested. Oh, here's my new thing now. So forget, like, looking to United score. You know what I do now? There's a thing called United We Stand, and it's about all United fans when they come out of the ground.
Yeah.
And they talk. He talked to some keys on the camera.
Yeah, I watch it all the time. Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's my new thing. So when you get beat, I go straight on and out on the headphones and check it out, man. What's new on news.com, man?
Yeah, even he loves it. Yeah, you got your own back there, Maria. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. The universe is balanced again.
Are you guys talking again now?
Yeah, we're best friends. Yeah,
it's fine. Okay,
it's fine. Yeah. As long as there's a bit of slagging on both
sides.
Don't
like my mum and daddy fight.
Yeah, it's scary.
Who's going to cook dinner?
Well, yeah. And you know there's only going to be one winner. Yeah. That's Maria.
You're absolutely right.
I nag too hard.
Come here. I get to talk to lots of movie stars. I actually really enjoy them because I don't really approach them in the same way I hope that everyone else approaches them. So I always kind of have a bit of crack with them. It's really good fun. And Catherine O'Hara was in the original Beetlejuice. She's in the current Beetlejuice. And she had a line in Schitt's Creek that I had to ask her about.
Catherine, just one thing. I know we're talking about Beetlejuice for a second, but in Schitt's Creek, you say this amazing thing about Ireland and you say it's a cinch to mash the Murphy where there's love. And just on behalf of the entire nation, what?
No, I worried about that. Yeah. I worried about what are the Irish going to think of this?
We loved it.
My grandmother called them Murphys.
The potatoes. Potatoes, Murphys. Yeah. Right, okay.
If you ask my mom, they're not even from Ireland. We're like third generation Canadian. Okay. But Irish on all sides, everywhere. Like nothing but. But when you ask my mom what's for dinner, she'd say, oh, I don't know. Go get the Murphys. We'll put those on. Like always.
Always.
Yeah, Murphys.
Amazing. Well, Jenna and Catherine, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations, congratulations on Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And we'll see you for the next one.
Thank you. God bless you.
See you guys. Bye, bye, bye.
There you go. There's the answer now. Potatoes are Murphy's. I didn't know this.
I never heard this before.
It must be just an American thing.
Well, she's Canadian.
Right, but okay, a North American thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's not something I've ever heard an Irish person call a potato a Murphy.
No.
A spud? Has anyone ever called them a tuber?
No.
Which is, of course, what they actually are.
No. I bet you did.
My brother-in-law is Canadian. Never, ever has he said that.
A Murphy's.
Yeah.
No. Never heard it.
I did watch the original Beetlejuice.
It's like, so good, isn't it?
Oh my God. I've seen it before, you know. But obviously I want to go see the new one. So I went back and watched the old one and it is brilliant.
Well, let me tell you, you will not be disappointed with the new one.
Really?
Because they've waited so long, there's like a lot of expectation.
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
that's like 36 years.
Yeah, but you're also into a new generation of people who don't know anything about the first one.
Mm.
So they don't actually know what to expect.
And you could watch it.
You haven't seen it.
I don't think so.
You could watch it in isolation. Like, one thing, you know what's really annoying, right? Oh, there's a bit of behind the scenes reality, right? Tracy has Beetlejuice figurines that she's had since like 1988 it came out. So say like 1989 Christmas, she got them and we always hang them on our Christmas tree, but they're so precious to us. Now we put them out. They're not a thing. But the kids, of course, being the kids and they're small, broke them little bits. Even if you haven't seen, you won't know, but like there's one of the characters ends up with stretching their face out.
Yeah.
So we have that thing, but they broke the face off and Beetlejuice's legs are snapped at the shins or whatever. Anyway, my plan was to show Jenna Ortega and Catherine O'Hara the Beetlejuice figurines. Forgot them.
Can I ask, is the song in it? My girl's name is Sonora.
No.
Because that's kind of a big part of the
It's an iconic
one.
Moment with Nona Ryder, yeah. But no, it's not. But listen, trust me, you will not miss anything. This Beetlejuice is so good. And the actors are amazing, so I highly recommend it.
So are these little figures that you have out?
Yeah.
You said you used to put them away and only bring them out at Christmas. That's nearly like, you know, the good tales for if the Queen visits. Or Michael D.
Yeah.
If Michael D visits.
None of the Queens ever come to my gaff, to be honest with you. But yeah, it was. It was held in kind of esteem in a box. But then we got to a point where we're like, we love them. Just put them out all the time. Mm. Then, Mammy! You're like, oh God, Beetlejuice's shins. Anyway, Catherine O'Hara, Jenna Ortega, the full interview available as a podcast wherever you get your podcast. Wherever you got this one, it's sitting there looking at you. The other thing that is amazing is when you guys unleash something on us. And this time it was home hacks. Little life hacks, little mini ones. Just make your life that bit better. You guys are unreal. Sheila's in Monaghan this morning. Sheila, you've got a sock hack for us, have you?
Yeah, I can't actually claim this hack myself. It's actually my husband's.
Right, go on. You better give him a shout out. What's his name?
Paddy.
Paddy, right. Go on, tell us Paddy's hack.
So what we do is when we hang out the clothes in the line, take the basket with you there and all the socks sitting in it. So rather than hanging the socks individually on pegs on one of them wee peg holders with all the socks, we just stick them in through the holes in the basket. Leave them there and just put a rock sitting or a stone sitting in the basket to stop it from blowing away. Your socks are dry then. You don't have to handle them twice.
So you're putting the socks in, like the little, so you've got a wash basket that has those little kind of square holes all around. Are you putting the sock, the main bit of the sock in or is it half-half or is it sticking out?
Any bit.
Doesn't matter.
Sock is sticking into it, they'll dry real quickly, you know, so you just stick them into the holes and any of your underwear, apart from maybe boxers, but ladies'
underwear, all do it,
stick them all through the holes and they'll dry real quickly and then you don't have to handle them twice, you don't have to take them up the line again, you just fire your clothes in on top of the basket whenever it's dry and take them all in.
Do you know what, that is utterly genius. Joanne has made a point and this is, I think I might implement this one in my house because in our house the problem is, like my eldest fella's feet, he's wearing the same socks I'm wearing. We all wear white sports socks, Nike, Adidas, whatever, right? The fella like who's 12, his feet are nearly the same. And the girls wear the same. So everyone just, nobody knows whose socks are whose. And I get the job of going, that's Andrew's, that's Sam's, that's Nina's, whatever. But Joanne says, get a mesh laundry basket for each person. And they put their underwear and socks into the mesh laundry bag.
Mm.
And then you wash the tied bag, and then it dries that way, and then you just give it back. The bag is put back in their room. And then you can just know whose socks are whose.
But it couldn't dry. They couldn't dry like that.
So she says, put the washing machine and the dryer. And
oh, back in the dryer.
Yeah,
okay,
dryer.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose you have to have that.
Yeah.
What about that one? Would you try that one?
I always lose socks. Look,
we have
a bag of socks there in the house.
All
the socks, I don't know who owned them.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to know, Sheila, isn't it? Tell Paddy he needs to work on a new hack for the sorting of the socks. Sheila, thanks a million.
No problem.
See you later.
You.
Bye-bye. We're going to Kildare now. Joan is there. Hiya, Joan.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. Bed sheets. What is this one about bed sheets? Go on.
They're the second bane of my life.
Same.
So what I do is, when I've washed the sheets, I fold them to the size of the pillowcase. So I have the duvet, I have the fitted sheet, if you have a flat sheet or whatever. With the likes of king-size beds and double beds, obviously put three of the fold three of the pillowcases in with it. And then the fourth one is the matching one for the duvet, and fold everything into that. And that way then when I go to make the bed again, I just literally pull that out of the press. You're not going looking for a sheet and a duvet, so, and maybe I have a pillowcase here or a pillowcase there. They're all together. And
in one pillowcase?
A lot of hassle. In one pillowcase, exactly.
That's brilliant.
And then it means as well that you're not having 15 different duvets, or my house, the kids might have four or five different duvets, and you're going, well, I actually don't need all those spare duvets. And it means then you can get rid of the excess out of your linen cupboard.
That is such a good shout. I love that one, because you're constantly looking for the sheet that goes with the duvet, that goes with the pillow.
Absolutely.
Love it. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that. Nice one, Joan. Angela's got a tip for us.
Hi, guys. Love the show. My tip would be, if you're grating cheese from a block, put the box grater into an empty food bag, a zippy bag, and grate directly into the bag. And it saves you a lot of cleaning up afterwards. And then you just pull out the grater, and voila, you have a bag of grated cheese. Love the show. Bye.
I wonder, is that good value? I wonder, is like a, if you grated an entire block of cheddar versus buying a block of, or buying a bag of grated cheddar, would it be more? I have to do a bit of an experiment. Angela, I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Mark and Leitrim's got one for us, too.
We've got a washing up liquid hack.
Go on.
So we buy a red one, a green one, and a yellow one. We start with the yellow, then the green one. And then when we use the red one, it's time to go and buy more when she's getting well down. That's what we do. Never run out.
I like it, Mark, but I presume you mean traffic lights. You start with the green one, then you go to the yellow one, and then when you start using the red one, you know it's time to go and buy the other ones again. That is properly genius. I'm really liking that one. 087-4100-102, the text on the WhatsApp. Someone says that they use Alexa's shopping list app. Like, I've always wondered about this. Mairead says, we use the Alexa shopping list, and whenever anything runs out or is used up, it's added to the list. And that way, when I go to the shop, I have an up-to-date list. Mairead, I thought I was going to do it when I first got my Alexa. But then one day I asked Alexa what's on my shopping list, and my kids had obviously figured out you could tell Alexa what's on, what you want on your shopping list. And all it was a collection of things like fart, penis, like bum bum. I was like, okay, we're not using the Alexa shopping list anymore. There you go. Now you know all about the different bits. Red, yellow, green, washing up liquid.
Love it.
Pure genius.
I feel like... That's a lot of time to give you a warning that you're running out of washing up liquid, isn't it?
Well, the ads are
a commitment.
They've been the way since the 80s. Like, they're running the same ad now that they ran when I was a kid, which is the kid waiting on the particular brand of long-lasting dish washing up liquid to be finished. They ran that when I was like six. And now they're running it again. Obviously, it's full circle. 22 years later.
another washing up liquid hack.
Oh, yeah.
The one in Aldi in the silver bottle, it's a green liquid.
Right.
Is phenomenal for taking stains out of anything. So like my son went to school with a new pair of runners.
Oh, clothes, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Went to school with a new pair of runners, right? He's six. I said, please don't scuff your runners. It's, you know, day one, whatever.
Such a mammy.
And he came home and, oh my God, it looked like he'd been wearing the runners for 4 years.
What colour runners did you buy him?
Well, they were white and grey.
Well, there you go. It's only one person's fault.
But he had this big dollop of bolognese he was after getting in school. I was like, of all things to drop on your runners.
Of all things to give kids in school, bolognese.
Yeah.
Is that what he's getting as a meal in school?
Guess hot meals, yeah.
Imagine him doing my celebrity question. What was in your lunchbox? Didn't have a lunchbox. I got hot bolognese and spilled
bolognese
on my shoes.
Bolognese and carbonara.
Yeah.
But that washing up liquid in Aldi and hot water. took that stain right
no
out.
Way.
The runners look brand new. And now we're going to treat them like your Beetlejuice figurines.
Oh, they only come out on certain times.
Yeah, I just have them. They're sitting on the radiator in the kitchen. He can wear them on special occasions.
Does anyone have a hack to stop people, when they're using the washing up liquid, slamming it down so that it spills everywhere? Or is that just in my house?
Because I think we're getting a bit of a vent here.
And then the conversation is, I don't know what's wrong with those bottles. Like, every time I use it, it ends up all over the tiles behind the sink. But funnily enough, there's two of us in the house, and it only happens when one of us uses the washing
up liquid. Okay, I do have a hack for that, which is go and buy yourself some kind of soap dispenser, liquid soap dispenser that, you know, get you refill. And when you get the washing up liquid, when you buy it in the shops, squirt it into the thing, put it underneath the sink or wherever, and then that one won't.
We have one of those for hand wash. This is where we're
have
washing.
Two.
But why is it a bath? Like people having a bird bath when we're washing our dishes. I just don't understand how much water one person
needs. I feel nothing I say
anyway,
is going to be the right answer here.
Also, you won't know if it's running low with that hack. It's a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
Come on, it's in the press underneath. Like, it's very, we've literally done it for years.
Yeah, the side out of mine.
What did you do?
Yeah, so we've two. We've one for soap and one for washing up liquid.
Why would you mix them up?
Well, they look different. It's really straightforward. Like, it's not that hard.
Also, I don't think it's sound like a hack to me. At
it's
all.
Not a big deal if you wash your hands with washing up liquid.
I don't wash my plates with hand wash.
Well, yeah, okay.
I think, but they just clean. Like, it's just marketing.
Yeah, this
just
guy doesn't wash his legs. What does he know?
And on that note,
brilliant. Dave Moore on Today FM.